Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Would you identify yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Olaf Arnold.
You see, now, this is the thing. The Olaf, I can do.
Mm.
And it's Olaf, right?
Yeah, Olaf.
See, Olaf. See, that I can do. Now, the last name, I think maybe our mouths are made differently. Do you think that there's like different parts in there or something?
Or it could be that I've watched a lot of television in English, and you haven't watched that much television in Icelandic.
This has nothing to do with the interview. What are the top three television shows in Iceland? I don't think I've ever gotten to ask anybody this.
You know what? I'm so sorry, but I don't have a television.
So how many people in Iceland do, I wonder?
What's that?
I wonder how many people in Iceland do have televisions. Like, what percentage of the population does and doesn't?
I think the absolute majority has.
Does?
Yeah.
And you've just decided...
No, I didn't decide not to have one. I'm thinking about getting one, but it's just never somehow very high on my priority of list.
So we don't know a lot.
Nope.
And there's not a lot. And even if we do the Google thing,
mm-hmm.
we can watch a video, which we'll talk about in a little, a couple of videos,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we don't know a lot. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to fill us in. Tell us all the incredibly important things we need to know about you.
Wow. My mother is she's a physiotherapist.
Okay.
And my dad was a writer and a historian.
Wow. Now a writer and historian
mm-hmm.
in Iceland.
Yes.
So now that's kind of interesting. Because that's not your typical history, right? That's a history that a lot of people don't know. So was he published worldwide and stuff?
No. He was just writing about specific things, like the history of the city of Reykjavik, or the history of the school that taught the sailors how to sail and stuff.
But I'll bet you, this is a good segue, I will bet you that the fact that he was a historian really gave you a good sense of storytelling.
Well, he was actually a really good storyteller. So he would make up stories all the time. So it, you know, and stories were a little bit, you know, the thing that sort of made everything smooth, you know. So if for example, me and my sisters would oppose or not be into doing something, then it was usually some sort of storytelling or fantasy that sort of like got us, you know, to buy whatever it was that they wanted us to do.
You have a lot of languages in your brain, do you not?
I speak German and English and Icelandic.
Isn't there some Japanese in there too?
Well, I don't speak Japanese. The thing is that it's, you know, I just learned it, you know, phonetically, you know, to sing that particular song that I was singing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And of course, you know, when I was studying like classical singing, you know, in my teens, I of course would have to sing in Italian, French, and, you know, all these different languages. So,
right.
But I want to start learning more languages, I think.
Yeah, just think like you see here in America, it's like, it's lucky that people know English really well.
Yeah.
You know, and they know a lot of Spanish. So has the volcano messed things up big time? We'll bounce between music and fun stuff. This volcano thing, it messed up so many tours. It was crazy. Like during South by South. Like, okay, so let's talk South by Southwest.
Because mm-hmm.
you played.
Yeah, that's right.
How did you get there? Because I was there for it. How did you even get there? Because a lot of bands couldn't get there.
Was it around that time?
Wait,
I think I was just sort of lucky. You know, in this period, it was just like, sometimes
it was on and off.
It was on and off. So I think I just got lucky. And sometimes they were like flying to Glasgow, and then they'd fly from Glasgow to somewhere else. And once when I was coming back from New York, I had to, you know, the airplane had to land, you know, way north in the country, and then drive for 6 hours to Reykjavik.
Six hours, and I'll bet those are not like super highway freeway thingies, are they?
No, it's more like bumpy roads.
Yeah.
I felt really sorry for the tourists that were flying through Iceland to somewhere in Europe.
Didn't know where they were going.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they're just sitting in a in a bus and there's fog and there's just like these farmhouses and some really weird Icelandic male choir music, you know, just being pumped through the system. I was just like, wow, that must be really strange experience for everyone.
Yeah, well, because going there for people is such an exotic experience in the first place, so I have to have that on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people there, they weren't planning to go to Iceland. They were just going to stop in the airport. So that's
free
like,
vacation in the hotel made of ice.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
there they are.
Yeah.
So one of the things you talk about, and again, you talk a lot, at least what I've read, about your songs being spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. I write most of my songs in my mind, and I write the melody and the chord progression sort of at the same time in my mind. And then, you know, they stay in my mind for quite a while, and then sometimes I forget them, and then I remember them again. And so, you know, sometimes I've been carrying them in my head maybe for, you know, 7 months before I even start trying them out on instruments, you know.
I think it's super impressive that you remember them.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, if I remember them, I sort of believe
that they're
that,
good.
Yeah, they're good. That's sort of like a selective process in a way also. You know, if they stick, you know, then wow, then they're worth working on.
Now, your first album was produced by another member of Sigur Rós, correct?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Kjartan and I, we met through his wife, Maria Hult, who she and I, we went to the same music school and we're both learning violin. And our parents also were working together because her mother is also, you know, a writer. And they were, we met when our parents were working on the first Icelandic encyclopedia. So it's kind of funny.
The first? Wait. So your dad was a historian, and now we're into the first Icelandic encyclopedia.
Yeah, they were working for the same publishers,
wow,
our parents. And so we would, you know, through their acquaintances and through being together in music school, we've been, Maria Hult, who is in the band Amina also. We've been friends since we were like 10. And then, you know, then I played a song in a wedding and Kjartan heard it and he wanted to record it. And then we started just doing these recordings. And they all sort of happened it was mostly just the two of us sitting in a room. He was recording and I was playing and singing, playing guitar and singing at the same time. And then we just add very sort of sparse stuff to it.
Wow.
I really like recording live.
Mm-hmm.
And in whole takes and many instruments together at the
That's
same
very
time.
Brave.
Yeah, I think it's just something very like...
It's real though.
Yeah, it's challenging to do it. It's really challenging to do it. I like it. Sometimes, you know, for example, for the new record, you know, we were four people recording the basic track together. Me singing, playing, and then three instrumentalists with me as well. And, you know, sometimes it would take like 12, 13, 14 takes to get it right.
Wow.
So it's fun. It's straining and it's fun.
Well, you do like challenges because I sat and watched your music department project this
mm-hmm.
morning.
Yeah.
So you interviewed 17 people in New York City of
mm-hmm.
all different nationalities
mm-hmm.
and then took that and translated those conversations into the music.
Yeah. In a way, so I asked them to write in their mother tongue about what music meant to them, and I had them read it out loud to me, and then the rhythm and the melody of the spoken word was the inspiration for the melodies that I then played. So, and then that whole thing was incorporated into this 9-frame whole take.
And did you edit all of that? That must have been a lot of work to line that all up.
Yeah, it was a lot of work because, you know, because it was all whole takes. So, you know, if you would screw up in the middle of the thing, then, you know, you need to start from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like with every take.
You like challenges.
I was going nuts, but it was worth it.
You're determined, aren't you? You just wanted to be.
I'm stubborn. I think that's what I am.
In a minute, in amongst, you know, you go down 6th Street, and I've gone for years, and what you hear is, you know, it's the noise level is unbelievable.
Yep.
And then here you are with just a few others, you know, that kind of bring down all of that. Mm-hmm. So what was that? Were you prepared for it? Did people warn you what you were in for there?
Well, you know, I had a feeling of what it would be like because, you know, I had gone before to play in festivals when I was touring with Moom, which is another Icelandic band.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I was sort of aware that it was going to be, like, kind of harsh. But then we were lucky. We got, like, a place to stay that was a little bit outside the whole
insanity.
Yeah. So we would sort of just, like, hang out there, just be sitting in the porch, playing, practicing. And then we'd, like, go into the insanity and do what we had to do and then just get the hell out of there as soon as we could.
So that
I don't deal really well with crowded places. I get claustrophobic.
Oh my gosh. Well then with that many thousands of performers and that many thousands of people there, that must have been quite outrageous for you.
Yep, I have to admit.
Yeah, that must have been pretty special. So now one of the other things I read, and again I'm going on what I read, is that this new album, a lot of it was speaking of your dad. You lost him a little while back.
Yeah, the first record was quite a lot about that.
Right, so tell me the new one. The new one, because none of us have heard, we've only heard, you know, we've been snuck a couple of tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all new even to me. So tell me what we're in for here.
I mean, the old record was a little bit more like a whole theme, you know. The same theme sort of going through the whole record and the sound pretty unified. But I would say that in this record I'm sort of more going all over the place. But it's so funny because I wrote like 18 songs that were like the pot of potential songs for the record. And then I sort of edited that down to recording 12 or 13 songs and then I only put like 9 songs on the record. And then when I listen through the record now, I think it's quite unified, you know, and it's less all over the place than I thought, you know. It's
well, you have a lot of songs for B-sides and for extras,
yeah,
and just, all sorts of stuff,
yeah, it's
right?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I like being productive, but I also want to sort of respect, you know, the album, you know, as a whole piece. You know, even though music isn't played that much in that way anymore, but still, you know, I like it having a, you know, a sort of an entity.
Absolutely. Now, this is the question you're going to be asked for the rest of your life, so
okay.
you know where it's going, but I would be remiss because, of course, what does the promo person send me, and how do they get me interested? The first thing they say is, oh, and by the way, come on, finish the sentence for me.
Björk is singing on the record?
Right. See, I wanted you to do it because...
Yeah. Because we just met through mutual acquaintances in the Icelandic music scene and became friends. And then I took the rough mixes of the record to her just to get, you know, her ear on it, and she got particularly interested in this song that's called Surrender, and then it all happened quite organically. Then we just decided between the two of us that, you know, because she had some counter melodies in her mind for it, and I said, well, if you have these counter melodies in your mind, why don't we just like record them? And so that's what she did. But it's funny because she recorded her voice in Puerto Rico, and then it got sent to us.
In that was the next question I was going to ask. Mm. Did she just happen to be there, or
no? We decided on it,
Rico? Why Puerto Rico?
Because she was living there at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How interesting. I guess nobody probably knows that Bjork was living in Puerto Rico. It's an interesting place to...
Yeah.
I guess as an artist, she probably goes all over the place, right?
I think she has to travel a lot, like all musicians.
But yeah. your album was recorded...
At the old Seuro studio called The Swimming Pool.
Now, is that a pretty famous studio?
It's a really good studio because they have a lot of equipment.
A lot of toys?
Yeah, and they have a lot of microphones that you won't be able to, you know, have anywhere else, you know, and they've been, you know, making it better and better, and they're really ambitious to have a good studio. And then at the same time, it's like really cozy and homey, and it feels good to work there.
So is that considered the place to record, or
no? Not
are there
not
other
necessarily.
Places that are more famous?
No, I mean, I think there are few studios, but I would say that Sundlaugin would be, you know, one of the better places to record in Iceland.
And did you have a producer?
Did you
have a producer who worked with you on the record per se?
Yeah, on the new record, you know, I was working really closely with David Thor Jónsson, who has been touring with me also quite a lot.
Right.
And so it was sort of him and then Kjartan again, you know, who were the producers of the record. You know.
Oh, so he came back.
Yeah, Kjartan came back to work. But it took quite a long time because, you know, I had a little kid and Kjartan had just had a child, and I was also, because I was between labels, and then they sort of were bringing me in sort of when the studio would be free, because, you know, they were giving me a good rate and stuff. So that's a part of like how long it took to make the record.
How long did it take to make the record?
It took like a year altogether.
What's already starting to happen, but just in a very minimalist way, is people are already starting to go out of their way to compare you, to put you in certain categories, to, needless to say, oh, she's from Iceland, she wants to be the next Bjork, or she wants to be the next Yoko Ono, or she wants to be the next, you know, whatever. So are you prepared for all of that part of this lovely business?
I mean, there's not much that I can do about it. I mean, if people want to label me in some way, or they want to put me in a category, or they want to say that my music is folk, or they want to say that my music is Icelandic traditional music, I mean, they can think whatever they want. I mean, for me, I don't consider myself like a folk musician, because what I'm doing is that I'm the music that I'm writing is not really rooted in anything. It's just I'm writing my songs and I happen to be playing acoustic instruments,
right,
to accompany them.
Exactly.
So, you know, if people say, you know, that I want to be the new this, or, I mean, it's so funny, you know, and then you're reading, because everything now seems to be in the media. Everything is supposed, this is supposed to be the new that.
Yes.
You know, the green is supposed to be the new pink, and, you know, I don't know, the Wednesday is supposed to be the new Thursday, or, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I think I have no control over this, and I'm quite at ease with what people think, and of course it can be scary if people sort of imply that I'm getting some sort of free ride because of my relation to these world-known artists. But the thing is that, you know, I know what I'm doing and I know what I want to do, and I have music inside me that I want to express, and if I keep on doing that, you know, the rest is kind of can't really be my business, you know what I mean? Or any of my business.
That was perfect, because when you hear this interview 2 years from now and you hear yourself speaking, it'll mean even more to you. And now, did they tell you what we do?
Oh yeah,
that we do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by other artists in between that you want to play. So did you get to think about that at all?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I just thought about songs that I've had on my brain lately.
Perfect.